T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Bucks Celtics tonight. Finally, the NBA is back. We'll talk about that coming up again in about 18 minutes or so. Talking some baseball, Scott Miller with Bleacher Report, with Turner Sports, MLB Network Radio joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. I guess baseball's back as well, with spring training underway, at least the practices. Games get started this weekend, at least for the Brewers. Scott Miller joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Scott, thanks for a couple of minutes. How are you today?
Hi, Scott.
Good, guys. Nice to be with you. How are you?
Oh, it's terrific. I know you've been covering the national baseball scene for a long time here. When you look at the Brewer picture, okay, they went to Game 7 of the NLCS last year. Do you think that they're a team that's going to once again be a factor? They made some offseason moves. Looks like they got better. Do you expect them to be a heavy competitor once again in the NL Central and maybe even repeat?
Oh, yeah, I think no question. I'd still like it better if they had a stronger rotation. I mean, I thought they lacked, even going into last season when they had traded for Christian Yelich and signed Lorenzo Cain. I thought, okay, now if you get a stud starting pitcher, you really got something. Obviously, they didn't. They still parlayed what they had into Game 7 of the NLCS last year. But their bullpen, Jeffress, was tired by the end of the year. He wasn't as effective in the postseason, or especially in the NLCS. So now we come into this year. I think the Brewers are very strong, definitely going to contend. I still wonder about the pitching. I mean, bullpen's been great, and they patched it together. And that's probably the wrong terminology, not patched it. I mean, it's been their plan. But I still question whether you can win without a strong rotation. I was in Cardinals camp yesterday. I'm down here in Florida. And, they've got, from Jack Flaherty to Michael Wacha, they've got a number of bodies competing for the rotation spot. I think the Cardinals look pretty good. That's the thing. A couple teams have improved. I mean, the Cardinals, I think, have improved themselves. Get Goldschmidt. Cubs are always strong. So I think the National League Central is going to be a lot of fun this year. I think the Brewers, I think, it's going to be very competitive. I think the Brewers definitely are among the contenders. But you can tell by some of the other clubs' moves, obviously nothing's going to be handed to them.
That Central's going to be tough. Even the Reds and Pirates should be able to be competitive, at least, with these other three teams. I think when you look at the Central, you think it's going to be one of, the Cardinals, as you mentioned, with all those reasons that you did, the Brewers here. What's your thoughts on the Cubs? They've been very quiet this offseason. Last season, it seemed like they were just kind of, hung over still a little bit. I'd still like them to come out of the Central, but I feel like a lot of people, there's questions there. What's your thoughts on the Cubs?
Yeah, there are definitely questions. I mean, I think, one thing I look at the Cubs, and I know the early reports, and I haven't been to Arizona yet. I'll be there much of March. But one thing, the early reports out of Cubs camp, Chris Bryant said the other day that shoulder that ailed him all last year is feeling really good. I think that's a huge key for the Cubs. Bryant lost his power game last year. That shoulder was injured in May, and it was never right. I expect a much, much better year from him. I think that's going to help get the Cubs get their mojo back. One guy that I look at as a huge key, and this goes back to what I just was talking about, even in Milwaukee with the rotation. Yu Darvish was just, he could not have been more of a bust last year. And I think he's going to play a key role in the Cubs this year. If you know, if his best days are past him and he doesn't post this year, you know, if he's in maybe, you know, just a handful of starts and he doesn't produce, that's going to really increase the Cubs' degree of difficulty. I love John Lester, top of the rotation. One thing with him, obviously he's not getting any younger, so we'll see, you know, how he does and if he can still be the bulwark for the team. But the Cubs, you know, they do. They have a lot of questions and answers, no question about that. But, you know, I think Darvish goes a long way in saying how far the Cubs go this year.
When the Cubs won the World Series a few years ago, I think many thought there was going to be a dynasty going, but it just hasn't quite lived up. And, you know, they lost their grip on the division title this past year, too, to Milwaukee.
Yeah, they sure did. I mean, the Brewers did a great job last year of running them down and overtaking the Cubs on the last day of the season. And, I think, you know, we've seen there's a reason why, especially with five teams in each league now making the playoffs, the extra layer of playoffs that there wasn't 20 or 30 years ago. All you got to do to look at how difficult it is to repeat, whether you're the Cubs or the Red Sox or anybody else, is, I mean, we have not had a back-to-back World Series champion in baseball since the Yankees did it in 98, 99, and 2000. I mean, in other words, since the turn of the century, 2000, you know, we're going on 20 years now without a back-to-back world champion. I mean, to pitch all the way through late October, it takes a lot out of a club, and usually there is a hangover effect next year, and I'm not so sure it's because of, you know, guys are still like hung over with thoughts of champagne and championships, and they lose their edge. I mean, I think there probably is a little bit of that. It's human nature. But I think the biggest culprit is it is really, really, really taxing to play an extra month beyond what most teams play into late October.
Talking with Scott Miller, MLB columnist, Bleacher Report. Scott, the big news this week, Manny Machado signing the 10-year, $300 million deal with the San Diego Padres. They were sort of that surprise team in the mix. Everybody was thinking collusion, but then he still gets a big deal. Is that going to be something that when we look at San Diego, this could be the start of something for them with that farm system? Or are we going to look at this and say, oh yeah, remember when Alex Rodriguez signed with the Rangers and they never really recovered? I mean, which is it more likely to go?
You know, that's what's going to be the fascinating question around the Padres for the next few years. I mean, you look at these contracts from Alex Rodriguez to Albert Pujols to, you know, some contracts. The Colorado Rockies even go back in early 2000s when they signed Mike Hampton, the pitcher, as a free agent. So many of these things go off the rails and they don't work. They become albatrosses. That said, you know, the reason we're hearing so much about Manny Machado and Bryce Harper this year is, you know, they're very, very unique in that they are not just marquee talents, some of the best in the game, but they hit free agency at only 26 years old. So, you know, when the Angels signed Albert Pujols, I think he was 31 or 32, and it was a 10-year deal. It was ludicrous. The one thing with Machado, the Padres in this 10 years, they should get, you would think, with a guy 26 years old, they ought to get, say, another 5 years of his prime. So if they are right in their evaluation of all these young minor leaguers we keep hearing about, you know, a kid like Fernando Tatis Jr. that's going to take over at shortstop later this year, if they're correct, and you know, if Baseball America is correct, they have the Padres ranked number one, their farm system and the number one in the game. If Padres and all these other evaluators are correct, and there is that much young talent, you would think that coupled with Machado having another five or so years of prime should make the Padres a force in the next few years. But that said, you know, certainly it's easy to sit back and criticize contracts like this because they just, for the most part, simply haven't worked in baseball.
All right, there's no salary cap in baseball. They tried to implement one 25 years ago, and the Players Association obviously stood their ground, wanted no part about it. Players Association doesn't sound like they're too happy that these big name free agents were out on the market, or at least one of them still is right now with Bryce Harper. Do you see some issues coming up here in years to come? Will there ever be a salary cap, do you think? I think it's needed in baseball. And do you see the players maybe somehow, with how angry they are about this offseason, that they do something about it, or try to at least?
Yeah, I think – I don't know if we'll see a salary cap. I don't foresee that. The player, like you said, the players, that's just been a non-starter over a few decades now with the players. Mm-hmm. I think what you'll see, I think the players will have to – if the way players are evaluated by front offices now in the last couple of years has changed significantly, because every one of the 30 teams now is either all analytics or heavily in analytics in the front office. And it's plain and simple. One thing that analytics tells clubs is when a player hits 30, 31, he's going to be past his prime and you're going to start to get diminishing returns. That's why there's been the freeze the last couple of years. That's why we see the clubs go young, because they, you know, odds are there in terms of mitigating risks. The odds are for clubs, if they take a chance on some 24-year-old kid or 22-year-old kid that they think is really, really talented, the odds are they're going to get a lot more bang for their buck with him than if they go out and sign some, you know, veteran 32-year-old to a, you know, 1 or 2 year deal. So the players, historically, especially the good ones, when they break out as youngsters, they're quote unquote in the baseball world underpaid for what they do, and they accept that because they've known over the years we're going to be underpaid as young guys. But then we hit free agency, and then that's where we make it up. Well, now they're not making it up the last couple of years. And so I think what you're going to see, the players' union is going to have to try to get some adjustments. I don't think they'll go for a salary cap, but I think you'll see them fighting tooth and nail maybe to say, okay, if you're going to evaluate us this way, you know, we need free agency after, say, 5 years instead of six. You know, maybe try to get the free agency a little bit earlier. That's one thing I think you'll see the players' union, you know, fight for as we go forward.
Where is, as we talk with Scott Miller, talk baseball, Bleacher Report, Turner Sports, where does Rob Manfred get his, like, research from? Because I feel like he keeps proposing these things that nobody's asking for. The things that he comes up with, is he a good commissioner? That's the simple question I have for you. Do you think he's a good commissioner at this point?
Yeah, well, what exactly, when you say the things that he comes up with, are we still talking like the labor relations free agent stuff, or you're talking now more
changes
like
to the game, pitch clock, you know, yeah. He wants to, instead of these games going, I think they were an average of 304 last year, they've got to be like under 245. There's no way around it. I don't see, unless I'm out of touch, which could be, but I don't see a demand for that. I don't know who he's acting on the interest of.
No. Yeah, that's a good question. The jury's still out. Short answer: if he's a good commissioner or not. I liked what I saw early. I liked where sometimes he would be willing to have conversations. Remember, one of the first things he did, he publicly floated the idea, I'm not so sure about the shift. We may need to look at eliminating the shift. That was a few years back, and then there was a bunch of outcry over that, and nothing ever happened about it yet. But I like that he would think out loud, he would have conversations, and look at things. Now, that said, the shape the game's in right now and the changes, I had one baseball person tell me the other day, there's been more changes in the last 5 years than in like the previous 40 years he was in the game combined. It's a tricky time right now. And where Manfred's concerned, I don't think, you know, you mentioned the time of game like 301 versus 245 or whatever. To me, and I know Manfred's touched on this, I think baseball's jumping off the time of game issue, and now they're on the whole pace of play issue, which I think needs to be addressed. I mean, last year was the first year in baseball history, more than 100 years, where there was more strikeouts than there were hits. The last few years, each year, we've had about 33% at bats have ended in strikeout, walk, or in a few cases, a hit batter. So in other words, about a third of the time in today's game, the batter is not putting the ball in play. That has translated to, I believe it's one ball put in play on average about every 4.5 minutes. That's a long time with nothing happening for fans in the stands and even for those watching at home on TV. It's become an all-or-nothing game. Again, I think analytics has led us down that road. It's home run, strikeout. And I know baseball will argue, you know, hey, people love home runs, and they do. But I think Manfred has a huge issue to tackle in that it's just become a much, much more boring game with less action in the last few years. And I say that as a complete baseball guy. I mean, I've covered the game for about 30 years. I haven't done any other sport in about 20 years. The game's been a passion of mine, so I don't say this lightly. That, you know, I know a lot of people might say, oh, baseball's boring. I don't say it lightly. I say it as a guy that's watched some changes happen. And there's nothing more exciting than, to me, I mean, the triple, you could argue the triple is the most exciting play in the game. I think we're lacking when there's just home runs and strikeouts and then more home runs and more strikeouts. I hate to see significant rule changes that are going to cut to the fabric of the game, because I think you risk some unintended consequences and you risk changing the game in ways that baseball fans don't want it to be changed. But at the same time, Manfred's got to figure some things out. And some of the stuff we were talking about, like this 20-second pitch clock, I mean, come on, that's not going to do anything. It's just going to make the pitchers rush or be angry. And I think that's fluff. I mean, remember, guys, about 3 years ago, I want to say, that season? Remember, we hit a point, baseball was like, okay, we're trying to move the game along. Batters cannot step out of the box. You've got to have 1 foot in the batter's box between pitches. You can't go step out and, you know, mess around. Remember that was like one season. Whatever happened to that, right? I mean, it was like all of a sudden everybody forgot about it. And by everybody, I especially mean the powers that be in baseball that enforce the rules. It was like, mm-hmm. We had that for a little bit, and then all of a sudden, we just attention deficit disorder, whatever, we forget about it. I think that's what's going to happen with the 20-second pitch clock. I don't think it's anything that's going to make any significant changes. That's a long-winded answer. I don't know yet what kind of a commission Rob Manfred is, but he's got some significant issues on his plate, and if he doesn't handle them right, his legacy, whenever he's done, is not going to be good.
It's interesting stuff, Scott. We appreciate the time. We will check back in with you down the road. Scott Miller, BBL on Twitter. Thanks, Scott.
Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Miller joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can follow him again, Scott Miller, BBL. Great Midwest Bank, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. All right, big game tonight. Bucks Celtics. The NBA is back. Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal. He'll join us next. Who may or may not have been caught telling Kevin Durant 2 max slots in New York. You still think he was saying Uncle Drew 2?
You bet, man. He's thinking of a sequel already. You want to be in it, Kevin?
I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. You know, in the NBA, as interesting as this season is, I don't think there's any other sport where the offseason is just as interesting. And that bleeds into the season. And there's no better example of a team than that, I think, right now than the Celtics with Kyrie and with the Anthony Davis stuff that was surrounding them. But they've still got a very good team that could be responsible for the end of the Bucks season should they match up in the playoffs. Covering the Celtics, Boston Sports Journal, Brian Robb joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Brian, thanks for a couple minutes. How are you?
Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Brian, this game, I mean, is it the Celtics look at this as a huge game coming out of the chute, because it's really one of those two-game swing sort of things. You know, they're like 6.5 behind the Bucks or whatever the hell it is. They don't want to fall too much further back if they have any shot at a one or a two seed.
Yeah, I mean, no question about it. I still think even if they win tonight, the one and two seed are very long shot just because the Celtics have a pretty tough schedule over these final 24 games. And, you know, the Bucks and the Raptors have just been playing so well that that's a lot of ground to make up in 24 games. But there's no question if they lose this game, it's kind of game over. Since the Bucks would win the tiebreaker, then obviously and have, you know, a seven game lead. So it's clear that this team has had its struggles all year long, or just in terms of like matching expectations. But they have been able to get up for the big games, and they know, you know, the Bucks, you know, handed to them pretty good in Boston, you know, back, and I think that was December when the Celtics were really for sure handed for that game, but the Celtics remember that one, and they, you know, if they want to make some noise and kind of clean up the East standings, it's got to start tonight.
They're 37-21, right? So that, I mean, they're a good team. They're a good team. They have good players, and they're a good team. They're going to be one of the top four seeds in the East. From the outside, I mean, we watch them when they're on national TV and stuff, but we hear the line, oh, there's problems, there's dysfunction, they can't play together, they can't figure out, Gordon Hayward can't figure it out. How much of that is true? How much does a team, when they have all their guys, because they've got guys that, I mean, half of their team could start anywhere, if not more than that. Does it not look right? Are they playing out of sync? What's the biggest problem with them on the court right now?
You know, they've kind of figured it out here in the last couple months. The start was very bad, 10-10. When the starting lineup wasn't meshing at that point, and then they made the adjustments. They put Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris in for Hayward and Jaylen Brown, and then that starting five thrived for a while. So since that start, you know, they are 27-11, and that, you know, is right up there with the Bucks and the Warriors for, like, you know, the best record over that stretch. The problem is, you know, the rest of the Eastern Conference is playing so well that, you know, that 10-10 stretch might do them in. But, you know, there have been a lot of hiccups. There's been some, you know, just minor stuff that's kind of gotten attention, whether it's been a pushing match on the bench or Marcus Morris calling kind of everyone out after a couple ugly collapses at home against LA team. So they've been playing well this stretch, but then when things go awry, you know, things kind of have blown up on them, and that makes it worse, you know, like makes it look worse on the outside, I would say, than it's actually been. So now everyone's pretty much back now except for Aaron Baines. Gordon Hayward twisted his ankle, but he should be back, if not tonight, on this trip. So the guys are kind of missing. Guys are playing well here. The question is now is, you know, how far they'll be able to climb the standings here in the last 24 games, because, you know, I feel like the two seed and the one seed, it's a pretty long shot, and that creates a pretty big challenge when it comes to the postseason, because, you know, the Celtics haven't been able to win on the road much, and they're going to have to do it in order to beat the Bucks and the Raptors this postseason.
Does Kyrie still have the attention of that team as a leader, and especially the young guys on that team?
You know, he's had a tough year on that front. There's no question about it. I mean, and it's not just him, it's a lot of veteran guys. You know, they got frustrated early when things weren't going right and kind of called out, you know, some of the younger guys on the roster, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, and just guys that obviously had bigger roles last year when everyone was hurt and had trouble kind of adjusting to reduced minutes and were still taking too many shots given, you know, their talent level when you have all-stars on the floor. And so Kyrie, you know, called him out a few times directly and did it to a degree that I think ticked a few of the younger guys off. And so now there's clearly some tension there. And I don't think it's going to necessarily sidetrack them for the rest of the year. But it has, you know, created just an element of, you know, uncertainty. And then you factor in Kyrie's free agency comments from a couple weeks ago when he said, ask me July 1st. And that, you know, I think is in the way kind of putting the rest of the team on notice to the degree, being like, okay, hey, if we don't figure this out right now, there's no guarantee I'm coming back here. So, you know, from a leadership standpoint, he's got some learning to do. He's kind of learning on the fly. And it's, you know, his message, I think, is starting to come through, but it's unclear just, you know, whether it's going to fully, you know, land with the rest of the roster.
Brian Robb joining us, talking Celtics ahead of tonight's Celtics-Bucks matchup. The Bucks have yet to lose back-to-back games. And when I watch the Bucks, we'll see how it translates in the postseason, but when I watch the Bucks, I'm having a hard time seeing a team that in a seven-game matchup can beat that team four times, just the way that they're playing right now. What makes the Celtics a team that can do that, that can win a seven-game set against Giannis and these Bucks?
Yeah, it's obviously the Bucks have been, you know, they were a scary matchup for the Celtics even last year. And now they've added, I think, a great coach in Budenholzer. The more shooting weapons and Brook Lopez, obviously putting Mirotić into the mix now, gives them even more options to kind of spread the floor. I do like the fact that the Celtics do have Semi Ojeleye, which a lot of other teams don't have. Just a guy, a strong guy, who he's not going to stop Giannis, but he's at least someone you can, you know, the Celtics don't have to throw a double team at Giannis every time down the floor when you put Ojeleye on him. And we saw that again in the final three games of last year's postseason. Brad Stevens put him in the starting five, you know, kept Giannis relatively under control so they could, you know, so this could try to take care of the rest of the supporting cast, and hopefully that would be enough for the win here. So, Ojeleye hasn't been involved too much this season. He's kind of been out of the rotation, but there's no question that we'll see him tonight, and he gives them a little bit extra wild card there. And then, and the Celtics, I think, just have shooting everywhere, and that is a problem for, you know, Bucks from a defensive standpoint. If you're going to play Brook Lopez on the floor, can you stick with Hal at Horford? If you take Lopez off the floor, can Giannis play the defense well enough as a five man? Whether he wasn't able to do that well enough last year's postseason, obviously he's better this year. So I think it's going to be a really intriguing matchup. And I do hope that these two teams play in the postseason, because I think we'd see another seven game series on that front.
On Twitter at Brian T. Robb with two B's. Brian, we appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk in those playoffs.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Brian Robb joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
I just think it's inevitable that it's the Bucks and Celtics in the postseason again.
Yeah, it feels like that.
Doesn't it? I mean, we talk about Toronto and all these other teams, but I guess a feeling it's a collision course somewhere, one of those rounds, with the Celtics in a six or seven game series.
Well, they better win, because if Giannis wins MVP, I get the $500 from you in a bet we made years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But when they lost to the Celtics, it was their first loss of the season, I was so incensed that I went on Twitter and I said, all right, whoever wants to bet, I'll bet up to $100 per person, total $500, that the Bucks will not lose a playoff series to the Celtics. And so a handful of listeners bet me, some $25, some $50, some $100, and I've got $500 on the line for the Bucks to beat the Celtics in a playoff series. So you could give me that money. I could turn around and give it to everybody else.
But you could have that. That could be some empty money, because unless you have their money in hand and somebody
holding
it.
I'm going to pay them. If they send me an account to pay it, I will pay it if I lose.
Do you think they'll pay?
I think half of the people might pay.
Okay, because we had that argument once before.
Right.
Which you should have did. You all should have put your money up and it had like Horvat hold the money.
Yeah, we should have done that. No, I'm just going to pay random Twitter accounts of people I've never met. That could be you in disguise as a burner account.
Me?
Yeah.
Hell, I can't even keep my own.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no. I haven't tweeted in the last couple of days. Got to put another video up there. Got to think of what I got to do for a video.
Let's go back in the hot tub, dude. Play the hits.
Thought about it. You know, I put a half-naked one on there. I've done a hot tub. If I put Shannon on there half-naked, do you think the company would be okay with that? I don't know if she'd be okay with that.
I feel like she might be okay with that.
Think so?
I mean, the last video you did, she was grinding on you in a dance club.
So. Yeah. I didn't take any heat for that, though. No one looked at that as a bad thing.
I think there's a few of your listeners that might have looked at it too much,
okay.
If you know what I'm saying.
Well, well, we're all a little sick, aren't we?
It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries, and boy, do they love it, being a part of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, you know what's good? Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. You know what's bad? It's available for a limited time. So this is the final week, and you can go get Bart's Breakfast Bonanza. 3 eggs, 4 pancakes, 4 slices of bacon, crispy hash browns. You get all that for $6.99. Why don't you go do a video face first into some hashies?
You know, I'm thinking about, in all truth, maybe before the Bucks game on Saturday night, going to be up there in the upper deck there, and after my son's hockey game, might be doing a little breakfast.
If you go after 4 o'clock, kids eat free.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. You know,
kids eat free. Kids free kids meal after Tuesday and Saturday 4 o'clock.
And Bart, I'm a big fan of breakfast for dinner.
Well, you should be. It's
never a bad time.
No, if all food went away except for breakfast, I would not have any problem.
No, that's like the best meal ever. I don't like eating it early in the morning, but like...
Yeah, I ate breakfast for breakfast.
No, no, no. I mean 7 o'clock in the morning because I'm never hungry when I get up. But if like on a Saturday morning at 10, I'm good to go with a big breakfast. Or like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Perkins midnight, has it all day.
Midnight, whatever. There's not a... But I mean, like when I first get up, when I just first get up, I'm not hungry. But I need a couple hours to settle in. And then, you know, bring on the pancakes.
3 eggs, 4 pancakes, 4 slices of bacon, or the sausages. Crispy hash browns, $6.99 at Perkins. Chuck and Winkler here on the...
Those guys has to bounce back and have a nice year. I'm not saying 20-game winner and Cy Young candidate. I am saying a solid, good, good season. Maybe Chase from a few years ago. Maybe Zach Davies with his 17 wins. Something like that. One of those two have to step up.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. That was Tim Allen. We talked to him earlier. If you want to go back and grab that, any interview we do, the entire show on demand, go to 1057fmthefan.com, click Fan on Demand, or just go to the radio.com app. It's all presented by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. We're talking with him about which guy needs to have, you know, that season, that special season, maybe a bounce back season, maybe a breakout season. He came up with two of the pitchers. You had said Orlando Arcia.
Yeah, I think Arcia is going to bounce back and take maybe the next step on of his career. We saw maybe a touch of that in the postseason last year, Bart. I think Arcia is my guy.
Jimmy Nelson for me, because I'm still not certain he will start a game. I just the date seems like it's been pushed back and pushed back and pushed back on him. Every time that the Brewers talk, they try to indicate that, you know, he will be ready soon. Craig Counsell was asked yesterday, where is he in this ever-longing rehab process? Craig Counsell said, not so fast.
He's not in his rehab process. He's in a healthy pitcher process. He threw a bullpen yesterday. Everything went great. You know, we're at the point of trying to... He's pushing us, you know, so that's where we want it to be. And so... He's on the schedule we set forth before spring training started, and we're on schedule with him.
All right, over under starts. Jimmy Nelson makes this season 9.5 starts,
God,
not wins. 9.5 starts.
That's good. Well, I mean, if you want to go, what Counsell says there, I mean, he says two things. He says he's not ready to pencil him into the rotation just yet. Yet, you know, Jimmy's just like the rest of the pitchers, so you would have to say over. You would think that over, if I mean, barring any setbacks from Jimmy, if he's like just the rest of those pitchers, Jimmy should be ready to go. I mean, and then the question is it going to be the old Jimmy, or is it going to be a different reinvented Jimmy Nelson?
I mean, this starting rotation, and I said this last year about the Brewers, what they needed was they took a lot of risks. So what they needed was everything to kind of go right. They needed their guys that they were taking risk on to succeed. Jesus and these guys, it did go right. A lot of it did go right. You're going to need that again. If everything goes right for the pitching staff, Chase Anderson, Zach Davies, Jimmy Nelson, if those three, even Chacin, if those four guys pitch up to the best of their capability, this team is going to be insanely good.
And that didn't happen last year. But then on the other hand, Bart, is the bullpen going to be as great as it was? Because the bullpen picked up the slack when those starters didn't get the job done. The bullpen came out and was fantastic. Is Jeffress? Jeffress had the best year of his career. Is Hader going to just continue to be just awesome? I mean, Hader is at a very, very high level. Is he going to have any slippage of his game at all? And those other guys who fall around him, who did the job when they were called upon, I mean, the bullpen was the best in baseball. So all we heard about, the bullpen. Hey, the bullpen's going to carry this team. Can the bullpen, which changes year from year, can it be as great as it was last year and pick up in case, I mean, as we heard Scott Miller say to Bart, he has questions about the starting rotation. I think a lot of people do. Well, if you do, then, you know, that bullpen has got to be rock solid like it was last year.
Jamie uses Facebook to reach out to us, says it needs to be Zach Davies or Chase Anderson to have the bounce back. They've been a bit of a bust since 2017. The young guns are progressing, and they'll play their part accordingly. But some of these veterans need to step up and play all-star caliber baseball. And again, if either of those guys do that, the outlook of this season, especially from that rotation, is completely different. Aloha, KJ, 799-1250. What's going on in West Dallas, bud?
Good morning, Bart.
Oh, my God. Do this whole call.
Doesn't sound like KJ.
Do this whole call in a Bart voice.
Oh, please don't.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Yeah, he hasn't done it at all today, so.
Do it.
No, I can't.
Do it in a Freem's voice.
Let's go to Robertson. I'll get some
Don't do that either. Jeez. All right. What we're saying is we hate our voices. So what's going on, KJ?
Hey, what's going on is I actually agree with both of you today, which is an extreme oddity. I agree with you, Freemzy, that Arcia has had a breakout year at the plate, and I think he will. And I also agree with Bart on the Jimmy Nelson part of it. I think we have to find out what he's going to be going forward or move on from that guy. I mean, it's been, what, 2 years now that he's been trying to rehab?
Do you think he makes over or under 9.5 starts?
I think he makes over 9.5 starts, but that doesn't mean it's going to be productive. You know, we got to see what we're going to get, you know, from him, or go out and try and get a frontline starter. And I mean, even if it's Gio Gonzalez, I think they need a left-hander myself. I mean, who doesn't have a left-hand starter in their rotation? I mean, you pretty much have to have one, especially if you're a contending team, you know, in the National League. You got to have a left-hand starter, man.
Yeah, I mean, if this was 10 years ago,
had that for a while.
If this was 10 years ago, KJ, that starter would be Josh Hader, because there was not as much emphasis on the bullpen maybe 10 years ago as it's become a bullpen game today.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Thanks for having me on.
Boy, we're seeing a lot of
aloha.
A lot of agreement aloha here on the show with KJ. Thanks,
yeah.
KJ.
KJ likes to rock the boat.
I don't look at the
not today.
Oh, here's where I disagree with him, though. I don't think I don't think Gio is a number one starter anymore.
No, I don't think. I think he just needs him in the rotation.
Yeah,
he needs a top of the. We would like a top of the line guy. We ain't gonna get one.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, would you still like a left-hander? Gio Gonzalez still out there?
Okay, but then who's out? I mean, if Gio is in, who's out? I mean,
I'm not worried about that. Just figure it out in the spring. Figure it out in the next 6 weeks. Who's out? Who's the worst? That's who's out.
Well, of course, but okay.
You're going to make that decision before you don't make the
signing. No. Okay, if you're going to sign Gio, he's making the team. Okay? You got Chacin, Anderson Davies, Jimmy Nelson, Woodruff, Peralta, Burns. I mean, you got a lot of guys. There's going to be some guys who won't make the team then.
Well, Burns has been suggested by a few people on Facebook. I don't like that they're not penciling him in. Is this a test? They're not penciling him in as a starter right now, as like in the rotation. Are they testing him? Burns should be your best guy the end of the season.
Is it because they liked him so much out of the bullpen?
Well, but I mean, if they're going to make him a starter, put him in there. Woodruff.
That's what I'm saying, Bart. I mean, if you sign Gonzalez, I mean, you told me that before when I said about guys and you got to figure it out. But still, if you, how many starting pitchers are you going to have? You're going to have 9 guys and compete for starting the 4 or 5 spots?
All right. 799-1250. Chime in on this. I'm going to find what the Brewers suggested depth chart is, and then I'll tell you what it should be. We'll do that in a moment. More from you guys.
I'm not putting any. That really hasn't entered my mind yet. I think we got to get there a little bit. I guess we're not there yet is what I'd say for that question.
Craig Counsell won't commit to if Jimmy Nelson's in the starting rotation as of yet. If you go to Brewers.com, again, very unofficial, but if you just look at the depth chart there, the rotation is set up as Chacin, Chase, Zach, Nelson, and then Brandon Woodruff. My rotation would be Burns as your 1, Woody your 2.
Your 1?
Peralta your 3, Chacin's the 4. This is what it's going to be in September, so that's why I'm doing it now. Burns, Woody, Peralta, Chacin, and then everybody else can fight for it, whether it's Jimmy, Chase, Davies, if one of those guys can bounce back, Josh Tomlin. I mean, Burns and Woodruff are good. I don't want to see them start in AAA again. Well, I don't want to see them start in the bullpen. I want to see those guys. They pitch the big innings in the postseason. Pitch the big innings now.
Yeah, I don't think you need Gio Gonzalez on this team. That's why. That's what I'm saying.
Want a lefty, that's where KJ was going.
But who do you take out? Because if you want Burns in it, I would go like this. See, there's not one clear-cut number one guy. I mean, Chacin starting game 7 of the NLCS this past year. And, you know, he didn't do the job. He wasn't good, but he had been good for most of the year. But, I mean, he wasn't picked up to be a number one starter. When they got him, they didn't sign him to be a number one starter. But by default, he is, I guess. So I guess I'd go Chacin. I'd go Burns, Woodruff, Jimmy Nelson if he's healthy, and I guess Chase Anderson with Davies working out of the bullpen.
Who needs to have that breakout year? We've got, if you're on hold, we've got about 30 seconds for you. Santo's on the west side. What do you got, Santo?
Okay, real quick. First of all, I think Anderson will have a bounce-back year because that guy started as our opening day starter, ended up off the playoff roster. He was a true warrior through that, and he was a true teammate, but you know what pissed him off, so he's probably motivated. As far as who's most important, it's Davey Nelson. If he can come back to being old...
Do you mean Jimmy?
You said Jimmy, right?
Jimmy Nelson.
Yeah. Jimmy Nelson. Davey would be tough.
If he comes back as old Jimmy Nelson, he's as good as all these... Keuchel people. He's better than Keuchel if he comes back healthy. And so that, I think, is the key to the season. And Chuck, if you put up that video, I got you on alerts. Later.
Oh, I mean, in other words, the video I was going to, I said, my next video, I'm going to have Shannon half naked, but I wouldn't be able to get away with that.
Your girlfriend.
My girlfriend. Intercom wouldn't be probably on board with that, but we'll see.
Well, you never know. I don't know a lot of people at the top of our company. Maybe they're into that. I don't.
Are we in the attitude era? You know, WWE went through the attitude era where anything went. Are we in the attitude era where some of that stuff can be okay?
Tell you what, why don't you put your girlfriend half naked on Twitter and let's see what happens?
Oh, I don't.
We
know
don't
if I
know
take
until we do it.
Yeah, I don't. You first.
Nope, I'll pass. Yeah. Brian's on the south side. What's up, Brian?
Hey guys, quickly, I'll just picture that I'm not too concerned about, but I wanted to bring up something you guys covered yesterday with Moustakas and Shaw. And I'm just not understanding what the deal is. Were they just not satisfied with Shaw's play? That's why they got Moustakas. And once we got Moustakas, the Brewers realized, well, he's not doing any better at third base. So that's the whole, let's switch him back and have Shaw back at third. I don't understand what the deal is with that. Why not just leave it? You know, it seemed to work. Why are they tinkering with those two positions? I'm just not getting.
Well, in other words, why didn't they keep Shaw at second base and Moustakas? Yeah, I don't get it either. I do, but I think they feel that Shaw was so good at third base and a Gold Glove candidate that he needs to stay at third base. But okay, then you're going to have a lot of experience at second base. I think we'll see how Moose is at second. We haven't seen it. But I have a feeling that Shaw will probably make a better second baseman than Moustakas is.
But do we, and somebody, I'm sure someone's done research on it, and I would love to see it if you took the time. I just feel like when I watched Shaw at second last year, he was never tested. Do you remember him turning a bunch of double plays?
He made a couple of stabs up the middle.
Yeah, he catches everything. Right, I mean, Council said that too.
But, I mean, the Brewers have tried
things. When he would start at second, they'd take him out by the fourth or fifth inning because it was September and they were doing... They had 40-man bullpens, and they're double-switching all the time.
I'm willing to try it. You know, I mean, the Brewers have tried. Like, they put Thames out in the outfield. It didn't work. They've tried Braun at first base. It didn't work. And if they try this and they find it doesn't work, then go ahead. Remember who I was doing some reading last night. You know the opening day starting second baseman was? You almost forget.
Was it my boy Johnny?
God, it seems like he was on this team like 5 years ago, but he was a starting second baseman last year.
Yeah.
VR.
Man, yeah, you know, should have never traded VR. We wouldn't be in this problem.
Let's not have that argument again.
I would love to go down that road again.
But didn't it seem like more than a year? I mean, if I told you opening day last year, he was a starting second baseman. Seems longer than that.
It does. Well, you guys can continue to chime in on this. Plenty of Brewer stuff to come. First games this weekend. Facebook, Twitter at 105.7 FM. The Fan. Bucks Celtics tonight. We will recap that one tomorrow morning. We're back on the air at 6. Eric Name going to come by around 8:35 with The Athletic, so looking forward to tomorrow. Chuck, on your drive back to Lamira today.
No, I'm not. Got a game tonight. Bucks game tonight.
Okay, well,
Bucks
if you...
Coach.
if you're looking to kill 40 minutes, I've got some good listening for you.
Okay, that'd be tomorrow.
Okay, new episode of the Winks Things podcast, where I talk to one of my friends who's big into movies. We handicap the odds for the Oscars.
See?
Coming up this weekend.
You talked to one of your homies.
I talked to one of my homeboys.
Okay, from Fond du Lac.
Not from Fond du Lac, a college buddy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you... And we also talked the Alliance of American Football, which I know you love very much.
Well, you can talk with him all you want, because you don't get nothing out of me on that.
So, yeah, I had to go elsewhere. So yeah. Check that out at radio.com, 105.7 FM, The Fan, a new Winks Things podcast. I know, Chuck, you've already subscribed. We're back tomorrow at 6. Bucks Celtics tonight. Bill Michaels next.
Bill Michaels!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.